Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
our special guest answers the eternal question,
who is Dan Mangan?
All right, you like live music, Patrick.
Yeah.
Right?
As long as it ends before 10.
Before 10. You wanted to replicate some business model you saw where it called In Bed by 10.
That's right.
Home
in
by
Bed
10.
By 10. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The club called In Bed by 10. I think we can all go to live music if we know we're going to be in bed by 10. Why wait around? We're not the Rolling Stones. Let's get the show started.
Let's do it.
If it's the Rolling Stones, I can understand. You come on at midnight, but, you know.
Well, there was a cool show at DC9 recently. This guy, singer-songwriter, Dan Mangan.
Right.
We interviewed Dan. You were there for that.
I was there.
And it was a great interview.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear part three of that interview today. If you haven't listened to parts one and two, you should go back and do that.
Yep.
Very easy to do. It's all on the internets. But also, in addition to the part three of the interview today, we're going to do like a little mini set. I think four songs.
Great.
Dan allowed us to record right off the board. Complete songs, full songs, and it's really, it's wonderful. And I want to say this too, that at the end of the show, he like came off the stage, went down into the crowd and performed unamplified there in the crowd, right? So I quickly unplugged from the board and took the recorder and a microphone and recorded, and you're going to hear that song, and it's like a big kind of sing-along. It's really fun.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's really cool. So you're going to want to hear that. Stay all the way to the end of this episode. Don't let anyone bother you.
Turn the lights off, down low. Yeah.
Kids come up and say, I'm hungry. You know,
just let them starve.
That's right.
They'll be fine.
Yes, they'll be fine. They can, I mean, come on. You know,
let them turn the oven on.
You know. Kids, go over there.
Make your own
oven.
Dinner.
Come on, it's about time you learned, right?
Yeah. Now, what were your impressions of the show in general, Jim?
Services won't take them away.
That's right.
Okay.
Did you enjoy the show? Like, what
I
were your impressions?
The show. It was great. You know, Dan is one of those guys who, in addition to having just really well written songs, he does what a solo performer should do. I mean, by solo, I mean a guy who has no band behind him on the stage, right?
Yeah.
He tells you a story to set up every song.
Yeah, that's
and it's
great.
A fun story, or it's an interesting story, or it's an insightful story, whatever it may be. And I think you have to do that, because I think when you have a band, like I mentioned on a episode a couple of weeks ago, you know, I went to see Bob Mould, and Bob Mould has a great, band behind him, and it's super loud and crazy, and he can just go song, 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 and it's just this sonic blast, right? But when you're just up there by yourself playing, you feel like you need to kind of bring a little extra, to the table, right? To the entertainment experience.
Yeah.
And if you can tell a great story, then you can capture the audience's attention and hold them throughout the whole set, right?
And make them think about the song you're about to play.
That's right.
Which is important.
Right?
Because exactly. Yeah. You want them to understand what the words are about and not drift.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he does that really well.
That's great.
You actually are going to hear that. You heard that a little bit in yesterday's episode. We set up the live song that we played at the end of the episode, and then you're going to hear some of that today as well in the little mini set that we're going to play. All right, let's get to the interview. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
This is Dan Mangan. Your bio online, I'm reading it, and all of a sudden I'm just stopped by this one short sentence. I performed for Will and Kate.
Yeah.
Now, pretty much any audience, there might be a couple of people named Will and Kate, right?
Yeah,
so it could be that.
I mean,
right?
I probably performed for a few Wills and Kates.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All the shows you've played, but but what are you speaking of here?
So, right when the world was in height Will and Kate-ness, right after they got married, they came to Canada. on Parliament Hill, 300,000 people, and there's a bunch of bands that performed, and Will and Kate were there, and I, you know, so I met them and shook their hands, and I performed a couple songs with a string trio, and it was sort of like it was just a big to-do, a Canada Day celebration that I got to do, which is cool. You know, I didn't. We're not friends still. I don't have their cell phone number. But it was a cool experience, you know, just cool. To sort of be in the sort of national spotlight for the moment.
I know your kids are really little, Dan, but do they have any idea what you do?
Well, my 5-year-old just came to our show at the Vogue in Vancouver. Wow. It's funny. It's like, in a sense, I think he gets it. But sitting in the balcony, and then I come on stage and the lights are shining and people are cheering, and that must have been really weird for him to be like, oh, it's my dad, and this is weird. But at the same time, like, my song will come on the radio in Vancouver in the car. We'll just be listening to the radio in the car, and he'll be like, oh, it's daddy's song. But I think in his mind, everyone's daddy just has songs on the radio. It's like not a big deal.
Yeah.
And whatever sort of environment you grow up in, that's sort of the norm to you.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they know. I mean, my younger son, who's 2, is constantly asking for Endadama, which is in the summer, cold in the summer. So, I mean, they know that daddy has songs and that that's what daddy does when he leaves and is gone. But I do worry that there's going to be some deep psychological connotation between music and the reason why dad is not here. They're going to become stockbrokers.
I resent
music.
I'm going to
rebel. And
exactly.
Become
that's
a dentist,
where we're going to go.
You know, yeah.
As white collar as possible.
That's right.
I was reading an essay that you wrote for The Guardian in 2011 about performing. I think Patrick will really appreciate this. He has a term for these kinds of people. Dan wrote, "Have you ever stood in the back of the gig with arms crossed and a neutral expression, constantly under the watchful eye of your own ego, wondering if whatever crappy band is cool enough to show enthusiasm for?"
That's right.
And then Dan says, "I have," and I'm sure a lot of people have and everything. And Patrick, you have a term for those people.
Yeah, chin stroking.
Chin strokers. Right. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Do you get a lot of chin strokers at your shows? Or?
I'll say that I've been really lucky, and for the most part, you know, my music hasn't been attached to a scene, you know. I think you get a lot of chin strokers when you get a huge amount of buzz for being kind of cool or for being a thing, and people go to the show just because they think that they're supposed to go to that show, not because they have a relationship with the music.
Right.
And I have grown my audience very slowly and steadily. And I'm very lucky to have pretty, like, emotionally tapped in people at the shows often. You know, it's not unusual that at the merch table there's some tears and hugs going on.
Nice.
And I don't know, you know, I can't really put my finger on how or why that is, but I've never been part of the most fashionable part of this industry. I've never had the sort of, like, pitchfork anointment or been, you know, shone a light on as being this cool person. And so, you know, I think the younger version of me was really begrudging of that. Sort of like, you know, I wanted access. I wanted somebody to let me into that party. Now I'm, you know, I'll take kind of any exposure really, but I'm a little bit more appreciative now of the slow and steady tortoise thing. And, the nice thing is that, you know, I went away. I stopped touring for 5 or 6 years, really.
Right.
And so when I started up The Engine, you know, we just did a tour across Canada and we sold more tickets than we ever have.
Wow. That's great.
And I think that that's pretty special, you know, that people have stuck with me. And I'll have people at the merch table after the show and they'll say, yeah, this is my 17th time seeing you.
Wow.
And it's like, Radiohead is my favorite band in the whole world and I've seen them 5 times.
Wow.
You know, and I, like, a band almost has to be playing on my front lawn for me to go see them. You know, I just, like, I maybe it's because I'm in the industry.
That's,
and I'm inundated with
app.
Music.
That's
and
right.
I,
yeah.
But, like, I, you know, I see almost no bands ever. And so for people to tell me that they've come to 17 shows,
that's
just
pretty amazing.
Blows my mind. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I'm very lucky. Very, very lucky.
Just wait. When this podcast hits.
No, this is the cool anointment I was looking for. Yeah,
so you might be set back for another year or so.
Okay, one last thing in that essay. You said that you talk about different things that go into your touring day. This is back, I think, when you were touring a lot, right? Yeah. And one of them you mentioned was jabbering on with a handful of well-meaning but ill-prepared journalists every afternoon, right? So,
Present company excluded.
How did we fare? Right. Yeah. Did we do okay?
Yes, absolutely. No, you guys were a real pleasure to chat with. The thing I'm alluding to is when, you know, the publicist sends a thing out and the publication says, yeah, sure, we'll do something on that. And then they assign it to someone and, it, you know, it could be a junior journalist. Or right. Could it be a senior journalist?
Sure.
And they don't even do so much as like go to your Wikipedia page or website before the interview. But in an effort to appear informed and deep, they do the like James Lipton thing. And they're like, so who is Dan Mangan? and the subtext here is that they actually don't know. And they're wondering, they want you to do the work for them and
give
explain.
Give me the answers that I can build on.
Thank you for doing such diligent homework and having good questions.
Well, thanks for your time, Dan. You know,
wonderful.
It's really has been fun. And just to conclude on one thing about Matt, he was so kind. Like he does organize our correspondence that comes in on social media and email and everything. But he was also kind enough. I mean, he's helping us, but at the end of the year last year, he took the trouble to buy copies of the new record the previous one and send it to us in the mail as a
great
thing, you know, to say like you really need this.
So it was, I love this guy.
It was amazing. Yeah. So if you come across next time, you know, I'm sure, you know,
well, he's going to see you in San Francisco.
I think that's right.
He's out in the West Coast now.
Sold out just today.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I'm sure he has a ticket.
He's going to see you there. Matt Windler.
Yeah. Matt Windler. He's a great guy.
He'll be stroking his chin.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, I don't think so.
Dan, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, guys.
And really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
It's the one thing. It's another. I ain't gonna catch a cold in the summertime. In the summer. In the summer. I ain't gonna catch a cold in the summer. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Okay, and our thanks to Dan.
Yeah.
He spent like an hour with us.
What an amazing guy. And Jim, talk a little bit about the fact, I think you texted me the next day and sort of expressed wonderment at the fact that the line at the merch table was one of the most intense you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed this at a lot of shows where, you know, the show ends and people go up to the merch table and they want to buy, you know... These days, it's a lot of people buying vinyl is what it is. It's some t-shirts, but a lot of it is people buying vinyl. And I actually find that at some of the bigger clubs, you don't see it as much, right? Like, I think people are just trying to get out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
I think so.
Let me get out of here.
When the show ends at the 9:30, people are headed out fast. Yeah.
Yes. It's like, how can I escape this crowd of people? At DC9, and DC9 only holds a couple hundred people
at most,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great venue, by the way. Anyone who comes to DC should go there. But I was fascinated by was the show ended. It honestly seemed like every single person at that show got in line for the merch
table. That's amazing. Yeah.
And it was like, I got to buy this record. I got to have this music.
And
I want to meet Dan too, because Dan also is back there.
That's the big thing about
manning the table, right? You don't see that at the bigger clubs.
Right. And I love the fact, you know, that thing about small clubs, especially when you're doing a solo tour, that you'll stand there and talk to everybody as long as they're going to stand there too. Right. So that's great.
I love that.
And I could see him doing it. I could see him spending 10 minutes with every person. So
totally. It was great. So our thanks again, Dan Mangan, and his latest album is called More or Less. You should go check that out.
Mm-hmm. And thanks, Matt Windler, for setting the whole thing in motion way back when.
Totally.
So
totally great.
Thanks, Intern Matt, for all you do.
All right. So I mentioned the live recording that we got. You're going to hear that in just a second.
Let's hit play.
Please listen to our show
every day,
pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back next week with some other stuff. We don't know what it is yet, but
it's
going to
be good,
something.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you like this, or even if you don't, you can still hit us up on the email, rocketsuburbspod.com.
That's right.
Or you can call us 612-440-1984. Or you can find us on all the social medias at Suburbs Pod. And also, Please visit our website, suburbspod.com. Please support us financially on Patreon.
Yeah, or send us a flaming arrow if you disagree.
Yes.
Patreon. To Jim's house.
I don't know what that means. Patreon.com/suburbspod is where you can make a donation and get some bonus content, like, for instance, the uncut interview with Dan Mangan is up there.
That's cool.
We do some other behind-the-scenes stuff, and you get episodes in advance and all of that. And let's just get to the live music here. So I mentioned earlier in the show, this is really cool. You're going to hear some songs that were recorded directly off the board at DC9. And then also at the end, you're going to hear a song where he went down into the crowd and performed, and it's recorded off a microphone into our recorder. I think everybody's going to really like this. So, and I'm just excited that we have exclusive live music recording
it's
on our
amazing.
Show, right?
Yeah,
isn't it cool? All right, let's get this Dan Mangan live music. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
This is a song I wrote on my very first American tour, and I was on tour. I went down from Vancouver, where I lived, to Los Angeles and over to Austin, Texas, to be discovered at South by Southwest. Was not discovered. Furthermore, went a little bit nuts. I drove alone for many days in a row, and I realized I would not be a good trucker. And somewhere in West Texas, I started hallucinating during a big bad storm that I was going to die. But I was really, at the time, I was really obsessed with this sort of like young troubadour-y acoustic guitar slinging Jack Kerouac figure kind of thing. And so I thought it was like really fitting that I was going a little bit crazy. I was like, this is going to help my career. And it was a really bad drive and a bad storm, and I was kind of in a bad way, and I pulled into this terrible like $29 motel, and most of this song kind of came in one spurt. And it's kind of about having a thing that you want to do. It doesn't have to be music. If there's something in your life that you feel like if you just don't do it, you're going to be unsatisfied, or if you don't try. And the kind of key line in this song comes towards the end, and it's, you know, the cost is more than what you get paid, but do it anyway. And so this song is called Road Regrets. I'll drive until the gas is gone, and then walk until our feet are torn. Crawl until we feed the soil, film the whole thing. It's all business in the left-hand lane. Drive there and then drive back again. Escape can be the only way to escape. So I have gotten used to coffee sweats, still getting used to road regrets. Hell, I took you up on all your threats to leave. Mel, can I just get a little bit more vocal coming back at me? Thank you. It's a shame. It's a crying shame. Them's the breaks. And ain't it always the way that takes you back to from where it is you came? And Robbie likes his country tunes. It's never been the lens that I see through, but I guess driving for puts words in so find Dodge and then get out of it. It's about as country as I get. See, you ain't living until you are living it.
not dead till you die. But watch out for the paraphrase, for they will crown you and they will take your legs. See, the cost is more than what you get paid. It anyway, it's a shame, it's a crying shame. Them's the breaks, and ain't it always the way that takes you back to from where it is you. Down the road and on the right-hand side, there's a place I sometimes like to dine. Coffee refills far as I can see. I'll be waking. Are you watching me? Are you watching? Are you? Are you watching? We're just waiting to see that your days are numbered. My days are numbered too. Are we cool now? Are we cool now? Are we cool? Bus down to the local record store. Buy something to make you like me more. Indie queens and tatties, they are listening and always waiting. And are you watching? Are you? Are you watching? Just waiting to see that your days are numbered. 'Cause my days are numbered too. Are we cool now? Are we cool now? Are we cool? Ah. Oh. Ah. Oh. I am sorry that I brought it up. It's not nice to piss you off. And I know, I know, I know, I know. But I was poking and sort of prodding and kind of hoping and always watching for a reaction. A reaction, a reaction, a reaction. Are you watching, watching, are you watching? Or just waiting?
Hey, the song. As Vancouver was preparing for the 2010 Olympics, the city was changing really, really fast, and the kind of really the one of the turning points visually in the city was that when I was growing up, we used to have these really cool old kind of rustic looking wooden bus stops all over the city, dark, dark brown paint. And it's like everywhere you looked in the city was this reminder that you lived in the Pacific Northwest. And they tore them all down and they put up these wiry little metal bus stops that had like a corporate name on them. And they put these little divots in the bench so homeless people couldn't sleep on them anymore. And it all felt like a very cold shift in the city modernizing to be a world-class city. And in doing so, we'd lost a little bit of our sort of soul. And but then I had this epiphany that my version of the city, thinking that it was so great in the 80s and 90s, was somebody else's ruined version who was just 30 years older than me. And that change is just inevitable. And looking backwards, I think if we've learned anything from modern politics is that putting a halo on the past is fucking bullshit. And anyways, here's a song. I equated in my head, weird, I don't know how I got to this place, but I equated in my head my relationship with Vancouver to the turbulent but eventually victorious career of Tina Turner. Downtown Vancouver, digging through your bag, ripping out the pages of the local music mag. You missed the show last summer, and now you've got your chance, playing at the railway with another emo band. I'm ambitious when giving up, never thinking clear enough. But we're not Elvis anymore. We're not Frankie in his wild years. We're not Tina's glorious comeback. We're not us. We're not us. Sold my soul the devil for nice penmanship, and now I write real pretty, but I'm starting to regret it. If all this was easy, it wouldn't matter how it ends. I'm ambitious when giving up, never thinking clear enough. But we're not Elvis. We're not Frankie in his wild year. We're not Tina's glorious comeback. We're not us. We're not us. We're not us anymore. We're not us. We're not us anymore. We're not us. We're not us anymore. We're not us. We're not us. In that song, I had a little chuckle to myself that this cold has made me sound a little bit like Rod Stewart. And for this last song, I need to get all the lights in the bar down. Can we do that? How dark can we get it in this room?
Whoa. Whoa. Very dark.
And then this is an old song. It's called So Much for Everyone. And it involves more singing. I'll that's a big surprise. And here's how it goes. It goes, oh, that's the first half. Oh, can we do that together? Oh, beautiful. Oh, yeah, you guys are great. Again. Some harmonies out there, feel free to throw those. Oh, oh, one more time for good measure. Oh, okay, so what's going to happen? I'm going to do a really long intro. I'm going to count us in. We're going to do the choir thing together. And then I will do different things than you guys. And you do the same thing over and over and over again. And you're not going to get quieter or peter out or anything. You're just going to keep it steady, maybe even get a little louder as we go. And the trick here is that there might be a couple of moments where, like, oh, is that it? And their answer is no, that is not it. The ending will be vividly clear. They all do like a big gesture, and I'll say something, and that's the end of the song. But until that point, you just keep it rolling, and then you guys become the foundation of the song, and I'm just gonna sing over top of what you guys do. So here we go. As much as I'd like to go to places I've never known, scared shitless to leave home, and I don't want to go alone, and I miss the rewarding gaze of a friend from my younger days. Didn't mind about my selfish ways. As he died, I was miles away. And I hope he remembers how, as I do when I look, we'd bark at the slightest sound, would not bite, for he knew not how. Here we go. One, two, three. Oh, oh, beautiful. Stop. And sometimes it's more than clear when morning comes early here, and I know that the day is near. Wasted days make for wasted years. Now I'm vicious with appetite and sobering half a mind, dripping with stolen wine, awoken by something I dreamt. Oh, harbored by I have been witnessing, and postcards and daydreaming get less embarrassing. Oh, after the day is done, and I will be on.
best for everyone to show down. Sing this here under the burning sun as eyes roll toward me now. I will drop my gun. I will drop with me. Oh.